You're listening to David Matto Radio.
Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is Dr. D, the V. It's the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. I've got a great show for you today, coming live from Breckenridge, Colorado. Normally, I banter for a little bit at the beginning of the show, but right now, I'm going to get right into this because this is going to be a show that is packed with really cool stuff. Yoko and I, the other day, were in Breckenridge. You know, and as if you're a regular listener, you know we come here a lot. We spend a good part of the winter here, and we're always looking for good vegan food. And we heard about this vegan, this plant-based restaurant that opened up a short time ago in Breckenridge, Colorado, 100% plant-based. I believe it's the first one. We went in there. It's kind of like a pizza shop. We had this incredible meal. And then the owners came over and talked to us. And they didn't just come over for like a couple of seconds and say, how was your meal? They came over. We bonded with them, and we started to hear their whole story about why they started this plant-based restaurant in Breckenridge, Colorado. And now, a week later, we ended up in their home here in Blue River, Colorado, doing a podcast, finding out the entire story about Jason Goldstein and Twee Merrigan Goldstein. I feel honored to be in your house, guys, and thanks so much for the invitation. It's beautiful. You guys told me you came from Westchester, New York, and you drove around in like a hippie RV for I don't know how long. I want to hear your story starting from New York, to why you figured out that you wanted to start a plant-based restaurant. And I just want to hear your story. And I want you to, you're going to be talking to listeners all over the world, mostly in the U.S., but we've got them all over the planet. And I just want to hear about how you started this thing and go back to New York and why you ended up here. And we'll break every once in a while. We'll just have some fun with this.
Well, we decided to leave New York because we just wanted to have a different life for ourselves and our family, our two young daughters. So we thought we wanted to move to Boulder, Colorado. After attending the Natural Gourmet Institute in New York City to learn, you know, some cooking skills, especially, you know, in vegan and vegetarian cooking, we're like, let's go check out Boulder. So I came out to Boulder and I was like, it's a beautiful place, but it seems a lot more like what we currently we're living in. So we wanted to change from that. And we're like, I looked at my wife and she looked at me and I'm like, I don't know where we're going to live if it's not Boulder. So we bought an RV and put our house on the market and started driving around the country to try and figure out where we wanted to move to. So as soon as we got to Cleveland, like, let's move here. It's not Westchester, you know, with all due respect, Westchester's a beautiful place and we loved it. You know, it was just something different and it was a change. So that's what I was looking for after being in my old career of hardwood lumber and hardwood plywood distribution for 27 years.
Okay, so tell me how a Jason Goldstein comes from Westchester, New York to Breckenridge, Colorado, and you had this vision of obviously opening up this restaurant. How do you even start with that? What's like the first step? What did you do?
I just did a Google search for restaurants that were for sale in Breckenridge, and this one was available. And it was it's a very small restaurant, as you know, and only like just over 800 square feet. And I thought that it was in our price range, and it was something that was manageable and doable for us to start out in this type of industry to learn it.
Okay, and now Twee and Jason, you're both vegan, and I think you said you're both vegan for about 3 years or so. So this vision of opening, I mean, there's no way, I'm guessing there's no way you would ever open up a restaurant where you're serving animal products. So if you wanted to own a restaurant, you're absolutely serving plant-based food. Were you worried at all that, you know, coming into Breckenridge, and I believe you're the first, right, that this thing just wouldn't really, people wouldn't accept it, and people in Breckenridge, like, let's face it, there are a lot of people out here that love meat. I see them eating meat all the time, love animal products. Were you worried that people wouldn't come to your place if we're plant-based?
Yes, we were very worried. In fact, on the second day, after many people came in and we told them what we were selling, thinking it was the old restaurant because we hadn't taken the sign down yet, groups of six and eight just getting up and walking out and I was looked at my wife and she looked at me and I was like, I think we may have made a big mistake.
So now run us through this. So you've got this vegan pizza restaurant. It's open for business. Groups of six are coming in there. They're hungry. They probably just finished a day of skiing. They're ready to order. And so what took place? At what point did they find out that they're not going to get like regular cheese from a cow and they're not going to get sausage? And how did they find this out? And then tell me about what they just stood up and walked out and said, we're out of here. What happened? You didn't try to convince them to stay?
Well, let me pass this over to my wife right now because she's more front of the house. So she was more like right in the front lines of this situation.
Yeah. I just remember. Yeah. I mean, we put the sign out in the front and it said like vegan pizzeria thinking, yay, so many people would just walk in the door. But yeah, sometimes they didn't even get inside. They just spun on their heels and we're like, all right. Yeah, there was moments, you know, and when they came and we would just say, you know, but it's organic and it's sustainable and it's non-GMO and it's, you know, here, can we give you a sample? And then all of a sudden, like, we'd start getting that sample ready and sometimes they'd stay. And once they ate it, it was done. Once they ate it, they just looked at us like, whoa. You know, and there was a few, like, here's what it came down to. And it was over Christmas holiday, and you've got the people who come to Breck who come once a year. And it's Christmas holiday. So they came back to the same pizzeria they were used to last year. But what I said to my husband, you know, now that we're slammed on, you know, the 3 out of 4 nights that we're open, it's a totally different story, and it's only 3 weekends later, right? It's just because it might have been a little too confrontational, you know? They came in to just get their pizza. They didn't want to know what was in it. They just wanted to know it tasted good and they could feed their family because they either just drove into town or, like you said, they just got off the mountain. So bottom line is here they are like, oh, wait, what? It's a vegan place? And there's a lot more to that than you're choosing to eat paleo or you're choosing to eat low carbs or you're choosing to eat gluten-free. We're talking about compassion for animals. We're talking about, whoa, you're digging into a deeper belief system of mine right now. And there were people who got angry at us. Well, after I had this one group, four top adults and then about 6 children. They were raving about the pizza. And this is, again, when it was flatbread pizza. We were just opening up, trying to figure out how we were going to run it eventually. You know, we wrote on there. It was plant-based. I think we wrote something about vegan meats or something. Anyway, I had a family that raved about it. And then all of a sudden, the one woman says, now, what is that cheese? Is that like ricotta? And I looked at her and I said, actually, no, it's organic cashew-based mozzarella. And oh my God, the look she gave me, she felt like she was tricked. And I just went, wait. Did she just come back at me like now? And she, at the end of the dinner, she came up to me and she goes, I just wanted you to know that I really felt like I was tricked and we were duped. And I looked at her and I go, that's the last thing we wanted to do. So here we are, Jason and I, busting our butts, somehow deciding to land in Breckenridge, Colorado. We were pulled here. You know, if we're going to move to the West and we're going to move to Colorado, we were going to make sure opening up a vegan restaurant in the middle of America. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like my husband says, the coastal cities, easy to go vegan, you know, but something about middle America, it's not as available yet. So we said we're going to move to a city or a town, a mountain resort town that was going to have a lot of traffic. I mean, what is it, 7,000 people who live here and like 1.5 million who come through? So we figured even if we're not going to do well, if we can get a couple percentage out of that, we'll do all right. So anyway, here we are. And I couldn't believe it. I had this woman who just, she raved about it, couldn't stop talking about it. The other 4 adults loved it. And then once we told them it was cashew mozzarella, it was like, wow, I just saw people react differently. And the ones who were confronted, they were a little defensive. And then the ones who were open and tasted it, they walked away with a seed planted in their head like, wow, I just ate plant-based food and it tasted good. And maybe I might try it again another time. Now, that's what keeps the doors open for my husband and I. We don't need to be like making pizza. We don't need to be converting anyone. We don't want to. We could be making money doing other things. We could just be hanging out with our kids. It's our first season in Breckenridge. Our plan was just to go riding every day. But this restaurant became available because it was meant to be. And here we are. All of a sudden, the server, the staff that was there before we started, it just organically happened that it transferred to now what we're starting to build. We're not building it. It's being built with us as a part of it. But there's a family. There's like magic. Things are happening. Now, we closed after that week. And then 3 weeks, we just hung out. And we just regrouped and said, do we really want to do this? Like, really, babe, is this what we're supposed to do? And we wrote each other love notes, you know, are we meant to just plant a seed and go? Or are we meant to stick our roots deep and, like, build a mini community within this amazing community? And that's what we're doing. And 3 weeks in, we don't have enough staff. We have more people knocking on the doors trying to get our hours extended. We've meeting people like you. We're like a conscious community that has a gathering place now. And that's what keeps us working 12 hours a day until we find the right balance, because we're being called to do this. You know, we're being called.
So do you think in a way you're also called to Breckenridge, Colorado? Because I'll share something that you told us when Yoko and I came into your house this evening to record this podcast. I mean, you're looking around at some houses and then you found this one that was like just perfect for you, and you found this restaurant. Do you think there was, you were asking the universe in some way for this whole thing to work out perfectly as you're driving around in your RV for 14 months?
No, I don't think, I feel that that is how we operate now. Or it's how we're being called to operate. Because even today, we were riding on Valentine's Day, Love Day, right? And we're riding, and Jason and I, of course, you can't help yourself but to talk about business, especially this early in the game. And I said, what do we need? What's the next step? And he goes, I need a couple more Gregorios. Gregorio is one of our hardest workers in the kitchen. I mean, this guy works three jobs, and, you know, he's sending money back home, you know, to Mexico. I mean, this, he said, I need about two more of these. And then we stopped, we rode the rest of the lift. I prayed to the universe and I said, please, Goddess, two more like this. You're asking us to do this. We're dropped down at our knees at the gates of what you want us to do. We need your help. And then within a half an hour, my husband looked at his emails and he said, I just got three emails for servers. And I went, well,
no, for kitchen staff.
For kitchen staff. And I went, yeah, because I just prayed. Because I believe that if you put your mind towards a vibration that is at another level of consciousness, I'm not saying we're better than or less than. I'm just saying it's like tuning in a radio station, like this podcast. You're on the same vibration. It's happening.
Well, I totally agree with you there. And I've told my listeners stories about when I was, I always ask the universe for things, but when I went through a really difficult divorce, there's Yoko with your daughter. This is so beautiful right there. Right, exactly. But I asked the universe for my soulmate, and the universe, and it didn't happen overnight. So I teach my listeners about this. So let's get back to the restaurant for a second. The other night, Yoko and I came in there. We didn't really know what to expect. We were greeted by a really nice woman. Her name was Victoria, I believe, who said, pretty much sit wherever you want, get comfortable. We chose a great seat. We were sitting next to each other with really wonderful cushions at our backs. It was great, but we still didn't know what to expect. And then as we're ordering, Twee, I think you came over to our table and pretty much made us feel like we were like old time friends, and we talked and we had, but it wasn't just me and Yoko. I noticed that you went over to, I think, every customer in the restaurant at some point and sat down with them and had a really nice conversation. And Jason, you're in the back, I think, doing a lot of the cooking, mainly the kitchen work. And Twee's kind of like, you know, I guess you probably say the front person in the restaurant, though, like the personality who's meeting all of the customers. But Jason came over to our table. Ultimately, we all sat down and talked for a while. I'm a business person as well. You know that. And the way you're doing it is really, really smart. You want to know your customer. You want to bond with them. You want to connect with them. I imagine once you do that, they're kind of hooked and they want to come back, and because it's like a family there. Tell me a little bit about how that's working out for you, because let's face it, the average restaurant you walk into, the owner is not going to come sit at your table and ask you a bunch of questions and be friendly. They're going to ask you how your food is, and that's pretty much it. How's that working out?
I just did a little like head count. Let's like, you know, make it relative to the restaurant's an intimate, cozy space. I think we have what, like seven tables and then a bar. and then like five seats at the bar, and then like five seats at the island. So it's cozy, and we love it cozy. And for me, it's about connecting with each other. Because, I mean, I don't know if you know, but I teach yoga professionally as well. And I teach a yoga class. But when I teach, I can teach a yoga class and you're in and out and could be a fitness experience. But what we try to offer people is some type of experience where you connect with yourself and connect with other people. And like, where else to do that but to have a dinner party? You know, so that's how we feel, because we love having dinner parties. We used to do that when we were back in New York. And now our restaurant is an extended dinner party from our home. So when we said to you, come over here, we met you in the restaurant, but here you are in our home because it's an extension. The restaurant is clearly, like, I can't even think of it anything else but an extension of our home. And so when you walk into our kitchen, our restaurant, our dining room, it's like we're having a dinner party. And when we have dinner parties, we want to talk to everyone, even if you brought a friend, you know? We want to know who you are and how we can serve you, and especially at the beginning, you know? We hope, if we're not always going to be there, we want to make sure that someone there is also doing the same thing.
Well, it definitely worked. And as I said, I felt really comfortable meeting you, talking to you. You had us fill out a little book there. It was just great. Jason, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the pizza, because I can't say that I'm a pizza expert, especially being vegan. You know, we don't eat a lot of pizzas. I'm not just saying this because I'm here in your house doing the podcast. The pizza, Jason, was unbelievable.
Yeah.
We ordered a little too much. It said on the menu, I think it said a 12-inch pizza. So I'm expecting this little 12-inch pizza, but it came out on the, so we ordered two. And not only that, we ordered the kale Caesar salad as an appetizer, which was awesome. And we split it, and it was just incredible. I mean, a kale Caesar salad that's vegan, it was unbelievable. But then we decided to get two pizzas because, first of all, you had, like, I don't know, it was maybe eight or nine different pizzas on the menu, something
nine.
Like that. Nine. I got that right.
That's a magic number.
Yeah, nine. And I'm thinking, okay, so I said to Yoko, 12-inch pizza, that's not really that large. Let's get two. And Yoko said, are you sure? I said, yeah, let's get two, please. I'm starved. They came out. They appeared to be a lot bigger than 12 inches, because they're square. And not only that, the dough was, I can't even describe it, but Jason, something you're doing here is magical. It was the taste. We got a lasagna pizza, I think it was, and the other one was,
was
the menu.
The white pie, the pesto?
Pesto. It was pesto, and Victoria recommended that.
Yeah.
And so the combination of the lasagna pizza and the pesto, we were in heaven. It was unbelievable. I want to talk to you in a second about how you make these things, but we couldn't finish it all. We took it home, and we had pizza the next night for dinner, which was, I could eat this stuff every single night. So, Jason, tell us just a little bit about how you're making this delicious pizza that is different. It's vegan, all vegan, and it's different than anything I've ever tasted in my life. And I've had vegan pizza in New York. Trust me,
yeah.
This is different. This is better. So, just give us a little explanation of what's going on here, Jason.
All I could say is that we're trying to honor the pizza traditions from New York, from Napoli, from Chicago, you know, from the great pizza places around the country, New Haven, Connecticut. And that means using a top grade flour, 00 flour. It's double refined. You won't usually get that in most pizza restaurants. And putting it in that wood fired oven at 750 to 800 degrees for 90 seconds. And just still working it out. It's not completed product yet. It's not there yet. It's close, but we're still trying to figure this out. And we have a hopefully a truffle pizza coming on the menu for this weekend. So after I finished chef school, this wonderful chef opened up an unbelievable wood-fired pizza restaurant in the town that we lived in, Armonk, New York, which is called Fortina. And now, 4 years later, it's not vegan or not even close to vegan, but the chef owner, Christian Petroni, is won Chopped twice and is now a judge on the TV show Chopped. So everything I know started there. I did my internship there after I finished chef school, even though it wasn't a vegan place, just because I was so inspired by these guys, early 30s, and we learned, not it comes in our nature to be comfortable around our customers, but these guys have a probably 80 seat restaurant or larger, now five of them, and they sit down with everybody at their when they're in there. So it's, and we love how that how they do that, and it's like we want to connect with our customers in the same way. So a lot of our inspiration comes from them.
So when we had our five-year-old, you know, 5 years ago, when we had our baby, it was amazing. It was an amazing time. He was working, you know, at the family business in the South Bronx. And he would see our baby, our newborn baby, about 15 minutes a night. Like most people, most men, you know, or women, or, you know, unfortunately, if they have to both work, they only get to see the baby for a few hours, if that. He saw him 15 minutes a night. And so it just kept happening like that. And we had a fantastic, quote unquote, lifestyle and home and da da da. And then it was just one day I just said, you know, babe, is this what you wanted to do? Is this your dream? And he said, no one ever asked me that question before. You know, here he was working at the family business since he was 13, 27 years later. His wife comes along and asks him this question and says, is this what you want to do? And he said, no one asked me. And then I said, well, I'm asking you. I'm your wife, who's also a yoga teacher who goes around the world asking that same question to every single person. What's your dream and what are you doing about it? And here my husband's, you know, I never was asked. And then he thought about it. And he didn't say. And finally, he looked at me, you know, kind of shyly. And he said, own a bar or a restaurant maybe? And then that's how it all started. Because once he said it, then the wheels started coming into motion.
Jason, we need to get you back for a second because I need to ask you a really important question. So you guys came up with this idea. Was it you made this decision to leave the family business of, did you say 27 years?
Is that yes.
27 years you had a family business, obviously very lucrative.
I didn't make
the
decision.
The decision.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. But it happened. But is there just? I've got a question for you. That's okay. Is there any turning back? Would you ever want to go back to your old lifestyle?
Not my old lifestyle, but there could always be unfinished business with the family business because there's a lot of my heart and soul over there too. But not the old lifestyle now.
Well, let's just take one more second because I was going to end. But what was the old lifestyle that you would never go back to? I want to hear. Give me 60 seconds. Tell me about your old lifestyle. I want to know about it.
It was the just basically living the quote unquote American dream. You know, I think when you're in my case, just being born and raised in New Jersey, New York, my whole life, you just think that New York City is the center of the universe and. Why would you even think about leaving? And that's kind of like the mentality of a lot of my family and people I know in that part of the country. So that's what I don't want to go back to. I like living with nature and a freer, you know, lifestyle. My own personal opinion. You could ask my wife the same question.
Well, Tweet, we're going to end it with this. You told me one story in the restaurant when we were sitting down talking, and you remember what you said? Can you tell that story again? Just take a few seconds. So it was a great story, and that pretty much made me feel, wow, this woman is really, really cool.
Like, you know, straight up, where did we live? We lived next to a town, Greenwich, Connecticut, which is a beautiful place where you feel like you jumped into the middle of Architecture Digest magazine. You go on house tours of $47 million mansions, you know, and okay, it was nice to look at, you know, and then two towns down is Hillary Clinton's Chappaqua. So here we are, and you might have quote unquote made it. And then you look around and you're like, wait, is there a deep connection like with each other's souls, you know, with each other as people beyond all the stuff that you have and the education that you acquire and the things, you know?
There's nothing to do on the weekend.
There's nothing to do on the weekend like Breckenridge. We just get to ride. But when we go back to it, the story I said to you is, you know, when you're looking at a five-year-old daughter of, you know, an acquaintance and you say, oh, hey, I like your shoes. And she looks at me and says, oh, thanks, Steve Madden. Or Prada. I don't remember what she said, but I wanted to just like stick her fingernails into dirt and just mess up her hair and go hang out in the woods for God's sakes. Like, you're five. Who taught you that labels are important enough to say to an adult or any other human being? Like, just what? And I just went, wow, babe, do we want to live in a community where we can find a few good people who we resonate with? I'm not saying it's wrong or right, better and less than. I'm just saying it wasn't what we were looking for. We grew up the Jersey Shore, and he ran around in Ringwood, New Jersey, in the woods. Like, we were connected to nature. He was connected to the woods. I was connected to the ocean. And it's like, no problem. It's just to each his own. Like, each parent, each, you know, you do what you need to do for your children. And we were very knowing and in our power that that is not how we wanted our children to ever reply to a compliment about her shoes at 5 years old. You know what I'm saying? We want them to say thank you and then maybe give a compliment back. And then all of a sudden remember the sun is on their face, you know, and they hear the stream of the bubbling brook, and it's time to take off your clothes and go, you know, naked in the pond. What are we talking about? You know, let's get back to it. So we left that place to go into a deeper richness.
I'll tell you, we're going to end it on that because you are preaching to the choir, baby. I love the story. It's, you know, I mean, God, we got yoga people. We got beads here. We got Jason with his gray hair ponytail. I love these guys. They're like vegan hippies. These are like the greatest guys ever.
Crunchy luxury. Crunchy luxury.
Crunchy luxury. I love it.
May we all be abundant so we can make change happen more quickly and consciously.
Tell you something. At the restaurant, I knew I loved you guys, and I'm so glad we're here doing this. We're going to end it on this. Tell us the name of your restaurant. Tell us any information you want listeners to hear, because I've got a lot of listeners that come through places like Breckenridge. Okay, I'll tell you right now, Jason and Twee are just like, no, you talk about it. The restaurant is called Piante, right?
Piante.
Let's tell us fingers together. Okay,
it's called
Piante. And where can we find Piante in Breckenridge?
It's at 520 Main Street or 70 South Main, right? The corner of Park and Main Street on the top floor. We hope to have a peace sign up there, or just a cool little sign that you'll be drawn to it. But yeah, in Breckenridge. Piante means plant in Italian. And a good friend of Jason's gave him the suggestion, and we're forever grateful because, boom, he nailed it. Plant.
So if you're listening to me now, which I know you are, when you come to Breckenridge, Colorado, or travel through Colorado, your homework is to come to Piante, the corner of Park and Main. It's like the third floor. You got to take some steps up. It's a cool, trust me, it's a great place. And I want you to meet Twee and Jason personally. Tell them you heard about it on the David Matter Lifestyle Show. And Twee and Jason, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for inviting me and Yoko. Yoko's operating the camera here in your home tonight with your daughters and your wonderful kitchen and food. We really appreciate it. And you guys are welcome back on the show anytime. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.